Christians have a responsibility to pursue truth wherever it might lead. That means we will need to begin to think on our own and not swallow everything presented to us as truth. And here's a newsflash, folks. Much of what people hear from their pastor week after week is sorely lacking in the truth department. I liken the sermons from most of America's pastors today as a bunch of cotton candy. Sweet to the taste, but dissolves almost instantly, and you're left with rotten teeth and an upset stomach as a result of eating too much. Thankfully, there are many faithful Bible teachers, researchers, and podcasters that are doing the heavy lifting once done by America's pastors. One of those people is my friend, Sam Johnston, the host of the Sharpening Report. Stay tuned for our conversation in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can hear us on Worldview Weekend Radio. You can go to their website for times and days. Also on the Global Star Radio Network, Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's gsradio.net. We're on Talk America Radio, Saturdays at 4 p.m., Sundays at 7 a.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, talkamericaradio.us. And we're on the Prepper Broadcasting Network, Mondays, 2 p.m. and 9 p.m., and those are Eastern times. Sam? It's a blessing and a pleasure to welcome you to Soaring Eagle Radio.
It is an honor to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
Well, thank you, Sam. Let's start our conversation by you sharing with our listeners what drew your attention really to this genre of broadcasting and research, because as a millennial, to me, it's a bit unusual. But it's very exciting to see a young person such as yourself not only interested, but really grabbing the bulls by the horn and taking off in the direction that you've gone. So why don't you share with our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a complete story if I didn't first, you know, thank my dad, really, who kind of started this process for me of waking me up to show me what the world really is like. You know, I didn't necessarily grow up in a church going home. It was always kind of one of those, oh, you know, we can go if you want, but it's not really that big of a deal. We believed in God, but it wasn't that, we weren't that strong in it. Mm-hmm. You know, until, you know, my parents got a divorce, and which is a, you know, common story among millennials nowadays, is just, It was a very broken family. And my dad, I remember one day, my dad's like, all right, we're going to church tomorrow. And I was like, are you kidding me? I didn't want to go at all, because it just, I had been to, basically my only experience was going to Catholic church. And it was, you know, frankly, just kind of dry and boring. And I was freshman year in high school. And I was like, that doesn't sound fun. And I remember talking to my friends on, you know, playing video games, like, all right, I got to go to bed now. I have to go to church in the morning. And I was all mad. And they started laughing at me. And I was like, well, whatever. but then it's just one of those things. I went to church and just it made sense. And it was just honestly a life-changing experience. And I'm one of those type of people that doesn't do halfway do things. I mean, they're always, I'm all in or not at all. So I kind of just immediately stepped into, you know, the youth group and worship leading and all that sort of stuff. And that was, you know, that was just the beginning of my walk as a Christian. Going back to high school, you know, I was always that guy who was like, you know, I don't think evolution's real. And this is why, you know, standing up in class and kind of slowing everyone down and getting those glares. That in itself was got some persecution through that. And so I kind of knew I wanted to go to a Christian college. And so I went down, you know, I'm from Michigan. So I went down into lower Michigan and got a degree in Bible and theology. But it just seemed what I was being taught just wasn't enough. Like it was Jesus is my savior. Here's some theology. You know, it was really in depth, but it just didn't click with the world that I saw around me, if Jesus is in control and why is the world such a mess, right? And we have all these churches everywhere, but why aren't they being effective? So it just didn't add up to me. And I remember I was probably my junior year of college. My dad called me. He's like, you need to come home right now. I need to tell you this, some stuff I discovered. And I was like, okay. And I was skeptical. And so it took me a little while to get up, back up home because I was, you know, dragging my feet. And so by the time I got up there, my dad kind of sat me down. He's like, listen, we're going to talk about Genesis 6 and the real meaning behind, you know, the garden to Noah, to Nimrod, to today. And that whole first story, Genesis 6, and which I'm sure your listeners are well aware of. Yeah. Just finishing up my college degree, I challenged him really hard. We sat probably 10 hours, like 3 days in a row straight of just talking about this stuff. And I thought I was a hot shot. I had my almost had my college degree at that point, and I'd studied Bible and theology. So I drilled him ruthlessly because it was just going against everything that I'd been taught growing up. So it was quite a journey at that point. And then people listening, you always have that moment where things just click and it's just like, oh, that's why, you know, that's why the world the way it is. Yeah. And so, just going back to, I don't halfway do things. So I was like, all right, well, better start really digging in and researching this stuff. And, you know, you go down those rabbit holes and before you know it, you're learning about the pagan, you know, holidays and you go back to JFK and 9/11 and you're like, how the heck did I get here? You know, I was sane a minute ago and now I'm going crazy.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the thing that really kicked me into the next stage is, you know, I was doing all this research, and the thing that really, you know, got me going was when all of my, you know, the people I looked up to, everyone here, the Watchmen, the Hescon, you, Josh Peck, the Hagmans, Ted Brewer, you know, all those really, you know, strong podcasters that I had learned so much from and you know, had been great debt to, started being like, you know, oh, these millennials, they're so asleep and they're so, you know, fallen. And I was like, wait, I'm here. I know what's going on, you know? And I just like, you guys just pointed out that need of a millennial to stand up and be like, listen, the world is not what it seems. And this is why. And to really, start taking that baton and stepping up. And it was crazy because I started this Bible study with a group of my friends, and that was a life changing experience because, you know, it started with just four of us, you know, three of my closest friends and I just studying started Genesis 6 and went through all sorts of different topics. And then I started inviting people, and especially people my age, they were just so awestruck at this idea that I could put forth in Genesis 6 that I had been taught and I was passing on to them, and they were just eating it up. And I even remember I had this one person I invited who I always sat down before I invited him to Bible study just to prepare him, because you can't just walk into something cold like that because it'll scare him away.
Right.
We sat down and I was just talking to him and talking about Genesis 6 and you know, the New World Order and kind of how it came about, and, you know, Revelation and how it points to how are we going to get to that point, and some different theories. And, you know, he just like stopped and he like looked at me, and he had, you know, he was 28 or something like that. And he just stopped and looked at me. He's like, I've been studying this stuff for years all by myself because I had no one to talk to about this. And he started, you know, he had a tear in his eye and he's getting choked up. And it's just like, there are so many people out there that are feel alone, that they're studying this stuff and they think they're the only one, because it's not mainstream Christianity anymore. It's just straight up truth. And Satan hasn't worked its way into weakening this group of people. And so just to be able to reach out to people like that, and especially fellow millennials, to say, hey, listen, you don't have to feel this way. You don't have to be alone or be deceived, and it makes sense. And so that kind of just started that journey. And eventually a group of my friends went down to Hear the Watchman, where I had the honor of meeting you, and a bunch of, you know, other people I really looked up to, specifically Josh Peck, who is a great guy right there. Especially when you start entering this world, you start meeting the people you look up to, and you're always like, oh, are they real? Or, I mean, even in this world, like, are they part of the Illuminati? Because you're starting to question everything. You don't know if they're just false information. So I was a little nervous to meet some people. But, I got the opportunity to sit down with Josh and just talk to him about, you know, Bible studies and creating small groups around the country and kind of connecting them. And that was my drive at the time. And some kid kind of came up to him and was like, hey, you want to go to lunch? And he's like, yeah, sure. And at the point, I was going to buy him lunch, and just because it was just nice of him to sit down and talk with me. And he ended up buying me lunch, and we talked, you know, for an hour or so with his wife. And that was, you know, that was just kind of my introduction to Josh. And then he called me a couple months later and he's like, hey, got this project, you want in? And I was like, absolutely. And so kind of one thing led to another. And that's how I got the Sharping Report from him, just because he just wanted to give back. You know, I don't know. God must have put something in his eye that I was something or something. I don't know. But it was a great opportunity. And he's just been so supportive. He sent me a free camera, a free laptop to get me started with Adobe on it. And he's just been lifting me up. So I can't thank him enough for that. So now I host the Sharpening Report. And it's just kind of.
So what is that like, Sam, to just jump in with both feet into the Sharpening Report? What's that been like?
It's been a trip, because you know, at one point I'm just in my own little world listening to these people, and then all of a sudden I'm talking to these people, and I have to sound educated, and I have to ask them important questions and put on shows that people want to hear. And it's just, it was a shock at one point, but then at the other point, it was something that God had prepared me, you know, every step of the way. You know, even back in high school, just being that person would step out and be like, you know, I don't think that's right. And just growing up in that way, and so many, you know, with my dad stepping up and just being like, here, this is the truth. You take it and run with it. And he's just, again, it's been so supportive through the whole thing. So it was a shock, because I was talking to these people that I look up to, and now, you know, being interviewed about it. But at the same time, God prepared me so well for that. And so it's just you just got to go for it, and that's what I did. So it's been awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been listening off and on to your shows, Sam, and just checking in, see how you're doing. And I got to tell you, you're doing a great job. I think you're really blazing a trail, so to speak, for millennials, for your generation. It's like anything else. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, most of us are going to be passing from the scene and going on to glory. And somebody's got to be there to pick this thing up and keep it going. And of course, that's assuming that the Lord tarries, number one, and that he continues to shield us from what's coming down. There are a lot of things going on right now in America. And of course, the shooting, the massacre in Las Vegas is top of the list for a lot of folks. I'd just like to throw it open to you and get your thoughts and comments on that. And I'm seeing a couple of extremes in the reporting. and the reactions, responses from Christians. And I'd really like to see a more moderated, measured, middle-of-the-road kind of analysis, if you understand what I'm saying by that, Sam. It's okay to speak of that as a false flag, but if you're going to use that term, because it has become a loaded term today, would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's become such a loaded term that you need to be very careful about using that phrase, and you need to be quick to explain what exactly you mean by that. So I guess my question is this. What are your thoughts on that event, first of all? And is there any manipulation involved in that? And has it been used for any other purposes? Or was it just a wacko gunman that did this by himself?
Well, you know, I don't think anything, especially evil, is done alone. There's no such thing as a single event. You know, everything in this world is spiritual, whether it's good or bad.
Sure.
So I would definitely say that, you know, it's connected. And I think it was Roosevelt that said, you know, a tragedy is a terrible thing to waste. No, I don't believe that it's just a one hit thing. And then there's not any manipulation behind it, because throughout our history, we've been shown again and again how certain aspects can be used to manipulate the public into certain, you know, into thinking certain things. So it was, you know, obviously a very terrible thing. And, it's hard to know with the actual truth of what happened. But I think one very interesting aspect of, out of all of these events is the disdain that people have for prayer in it. Mm. It's you know, you see people say, you know, I'm praying for you, and that's good. But then you see the other side of it, and people are like, oh, thanks for your thoughts and prayer. And they always put the positive thoughts and prayers in there. Thanks for your positive thoughts and prayers. It's not doing a whole lot of good right now that I'm dead. Like, it's like they twist that into thinking, yeah, that prayer is absolutely, you know, worthless. And it's just not. I think that is, people talk about the weapon control out of things like this. Now, that is an underlying theme of weapon control, is the weapon of our prayer being dismantled. Obviously, we have the right to bear arms that is always being attacked against these things. But I don't often hear people talk about, you know, our weapon of prayer being attacked. So, you know, and it's you just have to be careful. It's all about the Hegelian dialect when these events happen, is what are they trying to push us towards? And it a lot of people, the simple answer to a lot of people is they want to take away our guns. But what you see is when this stuff happens is people buy way more guns. They buy way more ammo because they're afraid they're going to be taken away. So it's almost like they're trying to pump our society full of more guns to create more disorder. I personally think that's the end goal, is to create this disorder in our culture. So they can come in and be like, well, you guys can't take care of yourself, so we're going to start taking care of you. And when I say they, I mean, the deep state and the hand behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the ultimate goal. You have things like Agenda 21 and 2030 of places are trying to push us. And I think that these types of things are to push us there, you know. And you can't speak, you don't know for a fact if it actually happened or they were just actors or, you know, I even saw a picture today of someone comparing this shooter to the shooter at Sandy Hook, saying they were the same person. You just don't know. It's just so hard to find the truth in this world. Yeah. But what you do know is they're trying to push us to a new world order and to a centralized government. You know, you see that in Revelation. Mm-hmm. And so you know it's coming. So how do these events get us there? And then how do you step up and be like, well, let's not go there. Let's divert this and use these things to wake people up to the truth. And that's been the biggest lesson that I always try to push on, especially on the Sharpening Report, is it goes back to Genesis 50:20. You thought evil against me, but God meant it for good and to bring to pass in this day, and many people will be saved. And that's the key. You know, Satan's going to plan all these evil things, and they're just going to be just terrible. And, you know, you can look at throughout our history, things like, you know, this, all these wars, and what that, those negative things that they've created. But all of the positive things that can come from that, because God's going to use it for good. And that's the key, is how do we use an event like this, event like Las Vegas, how do we use that to wake people up, to share, to show them the truth? Because you can use any negative event for good. I mean, anyone listening, look back in your life and think of a terrible time that you went through. But then think about all the positive, you know, attributes you gained from it, the strength. You're so much stronger now. Your faith in God is stronger, or you learned a different lesson. Like, that's how you get good out of those things. And so when this happens, it's important for the body to stand up and be like, how do we show people Christ through this? And it goes back to Genesis 50:20. You know, Satan's planning evil, and he's never gonna stop planning evil. But God is good, and he's always stronger. So we have to stand up against it and use it so many people will be saved.
Yes. Yeah. Amen, Sam. That's right. It's difficult to talk about events such as this within a context where it really needs to be discussed. And I think sometimes that Christian truthers, if we could use that phrase, the circle of friends that we run with, sometimes we need to tap the brakes. I often see things that people post, write about, and I cringe when I read them, because I think, listen, first of all, as a Christian, we should be compassionate, and we should see this for what it is. It's a enormous tragedy, a blatant waste of human lives and innocent people being gunned down. Now, the backstory, that's a whole nother issue, and we can arrive at that eventually, and we can talk about that. But in the heat of the moment, you know, same day, days after, is not the time to be doing that. So I agree with what you're saying, Sam, is that even though when we say, you know, call people to prayer and call people to fasting and call people to seek God's face at this time, some people will belittle that and they'll mm-hmm. ridicule that. But that's nothing new. That's always been the response of God haters and God rejectors during times of tragedies. They don't want to hear that. But yet that is the most powerful weapon that the Christian has, is prayer. So I would encourage people not to lose sight of that.
My sister came up with, she's like, well, everyone's saying pray for Las Vegas. I think we need to repent for Las Vegas. You know, that's the key. But I think you bring up a point. That's kind of really what I wanted to, you know, talk about tonight, was there will always be these events in our history to drive our culture to be a certain way, to act a certain way, to think a certain way. And I even, like, I'd love just to walk through our history a little bit to show, you know, how Satan uses things to create a culture in his favor. You know, like, even if we start back in pre-Depression era of, you know, the Roaring Twenties, and we had that Protestant work ethic of, you know, you're independent. It's, you know, focus on individualism, and you come from most people come from their own country to start their own life, to be this independent, hardworking culture of, you know, successful people. And now we fast forward to today, where we have a, you know, a large generation that's, you know, completely, they just want everything for themselves. They don't think they have to work for anything. So how do we get there? How does Satan get us from being individuals to being part of this this corporate collective structure where we don't even think for ourselves anymore? And you know, I would love to walk through, you know, kind of our history and point out a couple of key events that really kind of controlled the way we think. Yeah. So as I said, starts in the '20s. You know, we're a very individualistic, you know, culture where we're all trying to do what's best for ourselves, and, you know, it's very capitalistic centered, which is fantastic. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Great Depression hits. And if you've ever done any research on the Great Depression, it's really hard to figure out the origin of the Great Depression and how it came about, like the real origin. And so it could have just happened, or I personally believe that there was, you know, more nefarious activity behind the scenes to draw us about. But, you know, what did the Great Depression lead to? Well, it led to people falling apart and then standing in lines for free food. And then you have the New Deal come in, where basically government steps in and puts regulations on everything and creates all this welfare state, essentially. So you go from you know, living on your own to this being reliant on the government to give you things and other people. And they just trick you into trusting them without any reservations, because if you don't, then you don't have any food and you can't feed your family. And so the adults in that time, you know, were going to this point of just trust the government because they're going to provide for you. And then they had the big World War II, where, you know, Uncle Sam needs you, and you go and give your life for the country, which by no means do I want to say anything negative about our veterans. Every time I see one, I shake their hands and thank them for their service. And I would never kneel during the national anthem, but that's a different topic. But you give your life to your country, and you trust the government wholeheartedly. And that's with the adults in that age. But the kids growing up during that time, they saw, you know, destructions, and they saw, you know, at the end of World War II, the nuclear bombs. And so it created, you know, in that culture, just a sense of fear, you know. And they go into the Cold War, and they, you know, were trying to duck and cover. And they're like, you know, what is this world I'm coming into? And it's such a mess. And so I think Satan used things like, you know, the nuclear bombs and the Cold War to scare these children and to be like, you know, what world am I coming into? What did my parents do? So it really drove them, you know, out of their house. And then you have it's drug, sex, and rock and roll movement, because people are not listening to their parents anymore. There's this grand scale of rebellion because, you know, they grew up in this world of just chaos, which is a result of the Great Depression leading into World War II. And so as the adult generation dies off that fought in World War II, and this younger generation comes up, it's all about this rebellion of drug, sex, and rock and roll. And yeah, the civil justice or the civil rights movement. Yeah. The civil rights movement, come in, and people see just the injustices of the world. And so they start to kind of stand up against and those things. And so as that generation gets older, you have the new generation, kind of growing up in the 90s and the 2000s, my generation, the millennials, being raised up by this culture of rebellion and this culture of the civil rights movement. And so that group of people raised the millennials nowadays. So it's not a surprise that you see social justice warriors in our generation, because their parents were all about fighting injustices. And now we get to a point where it's like, there's not as many injustices as people think, but they grew up thinking they're at a disadvantage. So now they have to pretend that, or they have to go to work. And so it's just that dichotomy of understanding why this millennial generation is the way it is because it comes from being raised by people who were rebels, who grew up scared of what of the truth, and who grew up, you know, fighting for other people at all costs. So, you know, you have, you know, and then you throw the technology into that aspect where you get everything at a moment's notice. So you have this generation of millennials who want everything immediately, who will spot injustices because that's what their parents did, whether they're there or not, and who grew up saying, you know, being told that being different and being rebels is what you're supposed to be. And so now we get to the world and everyone's like, oh, they're causing riots, and they, you know, there's this, all these movements of feminism and all that sort of thing. And it's all like, well, how did this happen? It's like, well, what do you mean, how did it happen? It's history. That's what Satan has been using, these events to create this generation that is just reliant on not truth and reliant on ignorance. But, you know, that's really only half the story. And people love to stop there, and people love to look at the millennial generation. Again, this is what got me moving, is because everyone was like, oh, this millennial generation is just a mess. They're a lost cause. They're just a bunch of big whiny snowflake babies that aren't going to be good for anything. And it's just like, how is that going to be helpful to fixing this generation? Isn't it time to identify the positive qualities of this generation? And you can do that with every generation. So, you know, going back to the people raised in the Cold War and, you know, then growing up to be those rebels and fighting for those civil rights. I mean, those are the watchmen that we have today. You know, those are the people that grew up during that time is because they had to identify what was going on in the world. And, you know, if you grew up in that time, you know that a lot of things just didn't make sense. Like the right. news was trying to tell you that this was one thing was happening. And it just wasn't. It just didn't make sense. It just didn't add up if you were actually thinking. And so, like, that's the positive aspect of that culture and that generation was they started to form these watchmen. God, you know, Satan had this evil plan, but God meant it for good so he could wake people up and create this group of watchmen to point out this evil. And that's, I think, the biggest thing that came out of that generation was the watchmen. So you kind of fast forward to the millennials and those watchmen raised this other, you know, the remnant group of the millennials, so what's the positive qualities in millennials? Well, you're not going to stop a group of millennials from doing something they believe in. You can't. It's just impossible because we're an activist generation. And if we don't, and we don't just sit around, like we look for what justice is and hopefully, and most of the time in this millennial generation, it's wrong what people think is proper justice. And we stand up against it and we fight tooth and nail until it's fixed. And so that's the positive quality of millennials is to be able to stand up for what's right. And if you just arm millennials with truth, if you can just arm them with truth and give them the proper reality, then that's how we take this country back is this tooth and nail fighting to the ends of the earth to get this truth out. And that's what the millennials are capable of. So when I hear people just hate on millennials so much, it frustrates me because they just don't see the potential, you know? Yeah. And so you gotta talk to millennials in a certain way. And just like you have to talk to, you know, the older generation in a certain way and the generation before that in a certain way, because they grew up in different times and they were raised by different people. So identifying those positive qualities is what's key. And so that's been my biggest push as with the Sharpening Report is to identify positive qualities and just remember that God meant this to happen and maybe he didn't mean it for happen, but he's got a plan in it at least. And there's good that will come out of it. Well, and so that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, very good, very good, Sam. You made a good point earlier in the first few minutes of our conversation that has bearing on what you just said, and that is this: millennials want to know the truth. Now they may push and scream and protest against what you try to tell them, but if you can get them to sit down and listen. And then challenge them to do the research on their own, not be spoon-fed, because that goes against, if I understand millennials, that goes against their very natures, that they want to discover the truth on their own. But once discovered, then they are going to hold on to that voraciously, and they're going to then become advocates for the real truth. I think part of what we are up against today is that the corporate-owned media, the conglomerates, have done a rather nasty job of brainwashing people and presenting an alternative truth. It looks good on the surface, but if you do any investigating at all, if you pull the weeds back even a little bit, you're going to get a good eyeful of reality as it is. And so I think you're onto something there. This might be good advice for folks listening. If you have millennials in your life, try to engage them in the kind of conversations that you have among your friends and try to share some of the things that you know to be true through your own research and study and see if that might provide a door into their lives, and that'll get them off and running as well.
Yeah, and there's, you know, so, you know, logically, the next step is to, all right, so this generation, I think it's Generation X or Y, are coming up. Like, what are they going to be raised by? And what, you know, what events are going to be used to lead them in what direction? Like, how do we know what Satan's plan is and where he's going? Well, first of all, it's in Revelation. If you haven't read Revelation, that's where we're going. The New World Order, One World Government, the fallen angels coming back and creating their army. That's where we're heading. That's where we want to go. But my point is, we don't have to go there right now. Like, I hear a lot of people, you know, especially a lot of big podcasters are like, they almost sound excited that the world is potentially coming to an end, which is like, yeah, that's like really great for you people who are already old and have lived their life. But I'm young and I would rather, you know, live a couple years. So we kind of have to, we have to learn from the past. And so we have this generation now that's coming up, and one, their grandparents are pointing out all this evil in the world, and a lot of them turns into doomsdayers. And then their parents are these rebels that are, you know, fighting tooth and nail and creating all this chaos. And now they're growing up in this world where it's just a mess, and they are trying to find truth, but it's so hard to find. Even with the internet, there's so much disinformation out there. They don't know where to go, and so they kind of start to latch on to different ideas and hold on to them as true because they don't know where to go. And they have the postmodernist movement, which just says there's no truth, and people are starting to, you know, latch onto that. And so it's like, what is this next generation going to be? Well, I think, and again, this is just what I think, is this chaos, you know, things like Las Vegas are just being used to push us in a direction where the government will have to step in and be like, listen, you can't take care of yourself anymore because it's too dangerous. And you can see that in all the media. It's all over, you know, you talk about the corruption of the mass media. It's just, oh, we can't do it. We need more control. We need more government regulation. And then you compare that to, you know, the Agenda 21 and that idea of, you know, what the UN is trying to push on people. It's like, that's where we're heading, and that's what they want us to do. So we have to use events like this, and I don't mean to say use as a in a dis, like a without a heart. You know, it's a real event that people died in. Well, I guess it depends who you ask if they actually died or not. But you know, it's a real event regardless. That, you know, is really, can be really sad. So you don't want to use it and just be like, oh, I'm just using this to put my message out. But we have to turn it for good. Like, we have to do what Genesis 50:20 says and turn it for good and wake people up with it. And that's again, I'm kind of repeating myself. So,
No, I think that's a good point, Sam. And I, in fact, I made that point in the introduction to this show. And this is a message for ministry leaders, Bible teachers, even pastors that might be listening, that are concerned about the inability to reach people today. And it could be the millennial age group. It could be anyone, no one specifically, no age group specifically, but there is a lot of concern in the church today with folks that are just walking away. They're just done and fed up with it, and they're likely not coming back. And a lot of ministry leaders and pastors are saying, well, what can we do? Well, here's what not to do, okay? You don't need another program. You don't need another gimmick. You don't need another dog and pony show. You don't need a performance on the stage. You don't need any of that. Here's what you need, ministry leader, Bible teachers, pastors. What you need to reach people is the truth. Just the truth. People are frustrated, angry, confused, disillusioned. You can use all sorts of words to describe where people are at emotionally and mentally today with everything that's flying at them. And I think it's easy to see, Sam, that this is accelerating too. These kinds of things like Las Vegas. There was a church shooting, was it Mississippi, I think, just a few days before that. Well, you know, that got buried in the news cycle, didn't really see the light of day for very long. My personal opinion is because the variables involved didn't fit the narrative that the press likes to press. But the point is this. If people will just start speaking the truth, and when I say truth, I'm talking about the things that Sam talks about, his guests on the Sharpening report, the kind of topics and things that we discuss on a routine basis on shows like Soaring Eagle Radio, if pastors, ministry leaders, and Bible teachers would start talking about them within the context and framework of the Bible, you would be shocked at the number of people that would come flocking to you to hear what you have to say, because all of a sudden, things start to make sense. What do you think, Sam?
I mean, I agree 100%. It's like their logic was, we stopped teaching the majority of the truth. And so what we're going to do to fix that is to speak less truth and incorporate all these secular, you know, songs and activities to try to sound hip and cool to get the kids in. And it's like, I'm pretty sure Jesus said, don't put your light under a bowl. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what he said. Right. And so it's like, why is that the logic there, is to become more like the world when we're supposed to become less? It just doesn't make any sense. Like, I can see the logic if you don't really think about it. It's like, oh, I want to become more like the world, so to entice people to come in so they can hear Jesus. But that's not what people want. Like, when you give people truth, when you really give it to them and just lay it out for them, just that, it's just such a gift for them. And, you know, some people don't take it, but the people that do, like, they eat it up, and then they are the warriors. That's yes. The step is they are the warriors. They're the ones that stand up and will fight for the gospel. And so, yeah, you're going to get spit on, you're going to get hated on, and people are going to reject you. But newsflash, it's not like you didn't expect it. If you read scripture, you're going to expect that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you just got to step up and really speak the truth. So I really, really 100% agree with what you said about the modern church.
Yeah, yeah. And we've not yet, the Bible says, you've not yet resisted to the point of blood. Folks, we still have a window in America. The door is still open. We still have the opportunity. Now, personal opinion is, it sure looks like that opportunity is slowly but surely being closed. We don't know how much longer we have, but this is what I do know. For as long as we do have, let us be faithful in continuing to teach and preach the truth concerning Jesus Christ, concerning salvation, concerning our pursuit of truth. And by the way, a Christian should never, ever be concerned or afraid of the truth. We should follow it wherever it leads. Even though it may expose some things that we once support, maybe currently support, we need to be exposing those things, and we need to be sharing the truth with people in all of its glory.
Yeah, and I would agree with you on most of that, and I don't think even I disagree with anything. It's just I want to highlight that I think the culture is changing more than people realize to the good. And you can look at mainstream media, because all the money is still controlled by evil, but the voice, I think, is controlled by the real people who are out there trying to take back our country. I mean, you can look at all the podcasts and all the, you know, especially the Christian or conservative podcasts out there that are speaking these truths to take our country back, and it's growing like crazy. And so I think we're slowing down this roll. And on one half of it, I think we're slowing this roll of just utter destruction of America. So it's causing the enemy to ramp up their attacks to make it seem make it seem like everything's heading to destruction more. And maybe that's just my youthful optimism, coming out, because I don't want the world to end. I don't want America to end. I'd like to live, you know, I'd like to be able to grow up and have a family and kids and things like that. But I do see people rising up to fight this and to stop it. And it started with, people like you and, you know, people like the Hagmans and Ted Breuer and Josh Peck and, you know, my dad. And I see it slowing but I see Satan ramping up. And the question is, are Christians going to ramp up with it? You know, are you going to step up and actually take control of your reality instead of just being fed what the reality is? You're going to take control of your reality and make it into a God-fearing, God-glorifying one, where you preach the gospel and you kick Satan's butt, because that's what we're called to do, and that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what I know a lot of other people are trying to do, so let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's a good point too, Sam, is that we need to band together. We need to assist one another in this mission to continue to press the truth. We've all got different platforms and different audiences and a different voice. We all have targets that we're trying to hit, but we're all doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's never forget that. Soaring Eagle Radio was started because I thought there was a huge vacuum, a huge hole, if you will, in the Christian community where the truth of the things that we talk about, it was just not being discussed. In fact, many Christians, even to this day, remain ignorant of a lot of the issues that America faces. And so this is the reason why I started Soaring Eagle to begin with, was to push this information down into the local pews so that people could begin to discuss this over their coffee, over their chats with their neighbors, maybe at work during break time. They would begin to have their eyes opened and begin to become aware of how relevant, how vitally significant, how true the Bible really is, because it speaks of all of these things. And so I applaud you for what you're doing on the Sharpening Report. And there were many, many before us. And, you know, I look back on some of the folks that I used to listen to that really encouraged me. I think of Derek Gilbert and A View from the Bunker. That was that was one of the greatest finds in my early walk in this area with discovering truths, and really encouraged me. Josh has done some remarkable stuff, and I've got four or five of his books, and I've told him to his face that he's my go-to guy when I want to understand dimensions and when I want to try to grasp physics from a layman's perspective. I try to read Josh and listen to his stuff. Yeah. So the point I'm making, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sam, because this is about you and not me chatting. The point that I'm trying to make is we've got a role to play with each other. We need to lock arms and be strong and united in this effort. Now, that is one of the things that I've been pleasantly surprised with, is that there is a sense of camaraderie within this community that we belong, and folks are willing to help one another, aren't they?
Yeah, that's again another one of those other things. You, when you walk into this world and start meeting people and start to connect with them, you're like, are they out just to make a buck, or are they really trying to spread truth and really trying to work for unity to spread the gospel? And I would say it's been really shocking to see how everyone's always fighting for each other, and that's the key, is like we see a lot of people, especially on the internet, to fight against each other. And you read comments for days about this, just this hate spewing, you're wrong, blah 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 blah, and just this this fake Christianity of devouring each other if you disagree. And that's something that I've noticed when you come into this world, is just how people, they disagree, but that's okay. Like, it's not bad to disagree, but we're going to support you, we're going to love you, and we're going to be unified with you, because ultimately we're fighting in the army of Jesus Christ, and we have to further that message that he's come to save the world and find the lost. And that's the goal behind everything with most people in this world. And so that's definitely something I was pleasantly surprised with.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else on your mind, on your radar, that you've been really wanting to discuss, share with our listeners?
I think kind of just what I touched on there at the very end, it has to be about unity. You can't hate someone because you disagree with them. You can tell them they're wrong in a loving way, because I love doing that. But if you disagree with someone on the rapture, or you disagree with someone about September 23rd, you disagree with someone about whether the earth is flat or round, or if Donald Trump is part of this corporate conspiracy, or he's fighting for the little guy, that's okay that you disagree. Let's have a fruitful discussion about it. And that's what the Sharpen Report is about. It's about having people with all different views, people who think the wildest things. I had Dr. Michael Heiser on a few weeks ago, and we were talking about why women should have a veil on their head and how it has to do with the fallen angels and sexuality. It was just crazy, but he had facts to back it up, and it made a lot of sense. And so it just because it sounds crazy doesn't mean it's wrong. And just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean they're a bad guy. And that's what we have to stop in our culture, is this divide. And especially in Christianity, stop dividing. It matters who's right and wrong. But if you are hating someone and you are driving a wedge between people because of that, that's a problem. You know, we have to love everyone. And not this fake, you know, go along to get along love. But this love enough to step up and say, hey, I think you're wrong, but let's have a discussion about it. You know, love is our greatest weapon. That's it. That's our greatest weapon, is love. And people are trying to use this hate, cover it and saying, oh, I love them, so I'm going to tell them the truth. But they use it, but it's a hate truth. It's not a love truth. And they're very different things. And so we have to be unified, and we have to continue to have these discussions about what we think the world actually is, so we can grow from each other and we can sharpen each other. The Sharpening Report. and that's what I grew up on. That's what I'm trying to do, is just point out different ideas, theories. Stan Deo and I found Atlantis last week. It was fantastic. and so it's just we gotta have some fun with it too, guys. Stop being so serious. This is life. Let's enjoy it. Yeah. We're gonna win in the end. Newsflash, doesn't matter. We're gonna win. So let's enjoy ourselves. Let's have a few laughs about what's going on and get to the truth and, you know, save some souls.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was laughing, Sam, because I was in Colorado Springs last year. I think it was July or August of last year for the prophecy conference, and Stan's presentation, he spoke, and his presentation was on Atlantis. So I remember that presentation very well, where he suggested his opinion where Atlantis is. So that's why I was chuckling. But there's a conference coming up. I just want to mention this to folks. There's a conference coming up. We're recording this first week of October, so it'll be the second week of October. There's a conference coming up in Oklahoma City, the Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference. Many of the folks that we interview on our show, Sam's The Sharpening Report and Soaring Eagle Radio, will be there. So if you're in the Oklahoma City area, I would encourage you to come out and join us for that conference. I'm sure that you will be equipped and edified, and it's very, very, very likely that you're going to hear some things that perhaps you never considered before. And that's one of the beautiful things about Bible study and digging into the scriptures and connecting all of the dots, is that we are made aware of things that we just simply overlooked. And so that's a wonderful thing. Sam, the Sharpening Report, you have a website, and that is, let me see if I can get this right. It is thesharpeningreport.com.
Yeah, it's currently under construction. I don't know when this episode is going to be posted, but it's currently under construction. You feel free to watch me build it mid-construction if you guys want to. but Josh Peck just turned it over to me, so I'm rebuilding that.
Nice, nice. Sharpeningreport.com. Folks, you can go there and keep up to date on what Sam is doing and who he's speaking with, and guests and so forth and so on. So encourage you to do that. And when you do, tell Sam you appreciate the work that he's doing. Sam, it's been a blessed time, a very encouraging conversation. I appreciate you sharing with our listeners tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me on anytime. And guys, one last thing. Support Mr. Spaulding here. You have to support people. If everyone just, you know, even just sends him a note saying how thank you it is, so thank you for your hard work and be on the front lines. Those things mean a lot to the people up there. So please do that. It's so important just to support the people on the front lines.
Yes, Thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. God bless you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.